John Wayne Western tonight at 11.
Good afternoon. I'm Jim Boland, your host for St. Louis Illustrated. I think we have a most interesting show for you this afternoon, and our subject is based on Dr. Robert S. Mendelsohn's book, The Confessions of a Medical Heretic. Dr. Mendelsohn, in the introduction, you say the whole 90% or more of modern medicine that we don't need is out to kill us. I'm quoting now. Our other distinguished guest this afternoon is Dr. Armand Brodeur. Dr. Brodeur, how would you answer that quote?
Mr. Boland, that's ridiculous. It's inflammatory without foundation, and for a physician, I think it's shamefully irresponsible.
Well, our topic is modern medicine, and as you can see from the opening, I think we'll have a most interesting hour with these two doctors. Stay with us. We're going to have our audience ask questions as well, maybe for the questions that you may have in mind, and I'll try to ask some as well. The Emmy Award-winning St. Louis Illustrated broadcast from KMOX TV in St. Louis. Dr. Mendelsohn, just scanning the dust jacket here, I kind of get the idea that you're against the medical profession when, in fact, you're a doctor yourself and you are teaching medicine to the doctors of the future at the University of Illinois. You seem to think that we shouldn't take pills that the doctor prescribes without first reading the physician's reference dictionary. We all should keep a PBR by our bedside. What are we going to do in the future if everybody takes your advice?
I think you stated my position very well. And as an extension of that, I'm very happy that we're here tonight because I think that one of the healthiest things for the future of American medicine is to see doctors arguing on public television, because I think that then people will get the idea that that medicine is not something that is dogmatic, but rather everything in medicine is controversial. Now, the problem is that most people today treat medicine like it's a religion, and that it has a set of rules which absolutely apply, whereas the truth is that if you take anything in modern medicine today, whether it's pills, drugs, surgery, x-rays, routine exams, the whole gamut of modern medicine is controversial. The problem is that the controversy does not get aired before the public.
You don't believe in x-rays? You don't believe in periodic exams in the doctor's office? You believe we could do away with this sort of thing?
Well, my argument is that all of these procedures have become counterproductive, so that the routine x-ray has now been shown to be more dangerous than it is helpful.
By whom?
First of all, wait just a moment, Dr. Brodeur. Let's find out what you mean by routine x-ray. I know. I've had a little experience in my family with x-rays in recent years, but routine, I guess you mean the going to the hospital and automatically you get one, whether you need it or not.
Yes, and I've had experience too, because as a pediatrician, I once believed what my professors taught me, and therefore I recommended lots of children for x-ray of their tonsils, which has now left me with several dozen patients 10 or 20 years later who have cancer of the thyroid gland. As a matter of fact, I saw a patient in my office today before I left Chicago who had x-ray treatment to her chest 32 years ago because she had whooping cough. Now, of course, what I mean by the routine x-ray is the one that you take routinely as you go into the hospital, the one that you take routinely as a result of your annual physical, the one that school teachers and nurses and people who work in all kinds of occupations have to take routinely every year. the ones that school children have to take in order to go to camp in many cases. I mean the x-rays that are taken by walking into the Tuberculosis Association centers in order to screen yourself on the grounds that you might have a disease. That's what I mean by routine x-rays.
Is it better than the, are you saying, is it better that we take the chance that we have tuberculosis or emphysema rather than have an x-ray every once in a while and see if we have these?
Well, the best thing to do, as I recommend in Confessions of a Medical Heretic, is that when an x-ray is prescribed for you, be sure that you question exactly why that x-ray has to be done. And furthermore, records should be kept of how much radiation you've received. Because what people don't realize, although more of them do since Three Mile Island, is that all x-ray is cumulative. For example, you take the advice to women that they shouldn't have babies past a certain age. That advice applies because women who have deformed children or mongoloid children are 7 times more likely to have had excessive numbers of medical and dental diagnostic and therapeutic x-rays. Now, that is not generally known, yet that work was done at Johns Hopkins and repeated in lots of other places.
Conversely, isn't it true, though, that the mother could have, say, a mongoloid child and never have had an x-ray, and that's just as possible?
Well, while nothing is 100% in medicine, the object of the physician should be to reduce the odds. Now, so that they work in favor of the patient. Now, as far as I can see today, the patient has no opportunity to really deal with the odds intelligently because they do not have access to the information about the chances on both sides. So that, for example, as you point out, the doctor will scare the patient about the danger of tuberculosis, but he will not scare the danger with the patient about the danger of mammography, for example. Or the dangers of any other procedures. I don't mean to single out x-rays. For example, pediatricians, I turn to my own specialty, will not scare mothers about the dangers of formula feeding, which of course are well described in the medical literature. But doctors simply tell mothers that that bottle milk is just as good as breast milk. That's because most pediatricians feel that God made a mistake when he didn't put Similac into women's breasts.
All right, we've talked about x-rays, and you're sitting next to a doctor who is a radiologist, and I interrupted you. I'm sorry, Dr. Brodeur. A few moments ago, you wanted to make a point.
Get your side of the thing right now.
Let's find out what you think.
Jim, I guess what I want is equal time. We started on radiographs, and we ended up with Similac in the breast. Now, there's no relationship. Now, just a minute. I read this book, too. Page 18, mid-paragraph. Just to set the record straight, quoting directly, to fully protect yourself from your doctor, you must learn how to lie to him. This is not such a strange maneuver, really, since anyone who has learned to survive professional bureaucracy has learned to deceive professionals. You learn to lie to school teachers quite early in life, since the purpose of going to school isn't to learn, but to end up with a credential at the end. Then you do all your real learning outside of school. I, meaning the author, advise medical students to learn the arts of hypocrisy and duplicity, just as Southern blacks once learned the art of shuffling and so forth, and that's what you have to do with your doctor. Now, hold on. I maintain that that's a reprehensible violation of everything that I consider decent. To dare to suggest as a physician, as a pediatrician, as a lover of babies, that babies and children ought to be taught to lie to get along in this world, I consider it sacrilegious. And therefore, if that is sacrilegious, there can be no debate. There can hardly be a dialogue, because that means at any time, to make a point, we will tell a lie. Now, I will not debase my own principles, and therefore tonight, I cannot, because I will not, tell a lie. and therefore I cannot discuss at the same level. For example,
Are you calling Dr. Mendelsohn a liar?
Dr. Mendelsohn called himself a liar. I did not. Now, just for example, all radiographs are counterproductive. All radiographs are harmful to people. To continue, on X-ray.
By radiograph, you mean an X-ray?
Radiograph is the proper word for that photograph made with X-ray. An X-ray is a rhythmic electric magnetic oscillation. Nothing to do. You don't take out a photograph of your baby and say, look at the light ray of my baby. You say photograph. And the correct word, sir, is radiograph. Now, just to continue, if you don't mind, I'll just take one sentence. I hope it isn't too badly out of context, because the rest of it is just as absurd. Conservative estimates peg the number of deaths each year directly attributable to medical and dental radiation to 4,000. The actual number of deaths due to diagnostic radiation per year happens to be zero. It happens to be that with all the talk, even about Three Mile Island, there has never been in medical history a single documented case
that we know of.
What do you mean that we know of?
Jim, you're saying zero X-ray deaths,
yeah,
but
that's right.
Before saying zero, what facts do you have to back up that we've had nobody die? Just as you are saying he has no facts.
Easy. There is nothing that you can show me in the world literature that will document a single case. And if you do, Mr. Bowen, I invite you to bring me back, Bob Schnorr, please listen, invite me back on this program and embarrass me in front of all these people. I maintain that this is absolutely absurd, and I would like to ask Dr. Mendelsohn what he knows about radiation dose, radiation exposure, and the techniques of imaging to prove his point.
All right, just a moment. Let me interrupt at this point. The ball will be in his court after we take this short break. We'll be right back. When last we left you, as they say in the soap operas, we were in the midst of a dialogue between Dr. Brodeur and Dr. Mendelsohn. Dr. Brodeur, you had posed a question. I had to interrupt you.
I had two questions, really. I'd like to know how one teaches little children to lie and why one bothers to stay in medicine if it's necessary to teach medical students duplicity and hypocrisy. And then I'd like to know precisely, or even in relatively round numbers, what the radiation absorbed dose was of all of these patients who died of radiation exposure. And I wanted to know what disease they had as a result of that radiation exposure, as a result of diagnostics.
Dr. Mendelsohn, the ball's in your court, I think, at this point.
Let me say that the doctor thinks that I'm a liar, and I think he's an honest man, and maybe both of us are wrong.
I think you said you're a liar, good doctor, not me.
Let Dr. Mendelsohn answer, Dr. Brodeur.
Yes, sir. Well, if I can.
As far as the documentation of my statements in the book are concerned, they're drawn mostly from the prestigious medical journals, and there are references in the back of the book that address themselves to the subject of documentation. Now, I would say that if anybody wants to find out if X-rays are safe, then I usually tell them to go to somebody who's in the business of selling X-rays. I tell them to go to somebody who's in the business of taking X-rays, and that person will tell them how safe X-rays are.
You mean radiographs?
Oh, yeah. Now, I have trouble with that word.
I bet you do.
And I'll tell you why. Because I think in general, doctors use a secret language For example, we never say that we don't know the cause of a disease. We say the disease is idiopathic. We never say that a patient picked up an infection in the hospital. We say the patient has a nosocomial infection.
Let's stay with X-ray, doctor. I'd like to hear what you're going to say about how all these people died.
Well, what I'm saying is that as far as if we can use the word X-ray, I got actually we got a semantic problem here.
No,
the way we use the word X-ray,
X-ray
because people at home call it that.
I acquiesce. I will tell a lie.
Right.
I acquiesce. Go ahead.
And
I want to hear about it. How they died.
My answer is that the documentation is in the back of this book.
It is not. You said you omitted references. You said it direct on page 185.
Well, if you read the next page.
I see. Then don't believe what you said here. Go to the next page. Okay.
Uh-huh.
Now what do I do? I'm on the next page.
Well, the next page gives a series of publications that document what's in the book. As a matter of fact, I might tell you that my friends, including some of them high officers of medical societies, have admitted that everything that is in the book is true, because nobody's been able to find a misstatement in the book so far.
I'm a high officer in the medical society, and I say that 99% of it is untrue, and what I see on that back page is Jewish Medical Ethics, the Psychologic Society, Coping with Psychiatric and Psycho... That's not X-ray, good heavens. Pre-symptomatic detection and early diagnosis, infant feeding and mothering. Where's this X-ray bit?
Well, do you want to read the rest?
Yes, I'll read the rest. Medical nemesis, is that X-ray? Modern medical mistakes, is that X-ray? Now, I want to know how you arrived at 4,000 murdered people each year by people like me when I'm maintaining there are none. I maintain you don't know. I maintain that you don't know what X-ray does to people. I maintain you don't even know the energy of one rad absorbed, and if you do, I will apologize, and you haven't said it anywhere in your book. You've made one statement that people like me murder 4,000 people a year, and I maintain that that is offensive, it's reprehensible, and it's wrong. And you yourself said, primum non nocere. You have just nocered.
Yes, Dr. Mendelsohn.
Stay with X-ray. I want to hear the answer.
All right, let's get the answer. And then
let's hear the answer.
Will you let me get a question in
there? I don't know, sir. We'll see.
Okay. Dr. Mendelsohn, if you will.
Well, while you two fight it out over who gets the next question, my answer remains the same, that those first several references in the back completely document the case for X-ray.
That's a bunch of nonsense. No, I do not accept that.
Well, we've already been through this dialogue. Is that the end of what you had to say about your standing on your reference book?
Yes.
In other words, I wanted to ask you, were you in private practice before you became a medical teacher?
I'm still in private practice.
I see. God help us. What procedures do you use with your patients, diagnostic procedures, let's say?
I use all of the usual diagnostic procedures. The problem is, when do you use the diagnostic procedures? And that's where I think that modern medicine has turned counterproductive. Because, for example, today, when a woman goes into the hospital to have a baby, she has about a one-third chance of coming out of the hospital with a scar on her belly from a cesarean section. When a person is prescribed antihypertensive drugs, or is prescribed antiarthritic drugs or tranquilizers, they have a greater chance of having side effects from those drugs than of receiving benefits from those drugs. When simple diagnostic procedures like the blood pressure machine are misused in such massive quantities, the person who is diagnosed as having hypertension in the doctor's office has a greater chance of being damaged by the doctor's treatment based on the doctor's poor use of diagnostic equipment than he has a chance of being benefited.
Do you ever prescribe Valium or Darvon or These are two things that we hear a lot about on the news.
I hardly ever prescribe Valium because, as I point out in the Confessions of a Medical Heretic, if you take a look at the side effects of Valium, they're about the same as the indications for Valium. So that if a person is prescribed Valium for anxiety, stress, muscle spasm, if you take a look at the side effects, they turn out to be exactly the same as the reasons for prescribing it. So Valium becomes a very questionable drug. As far as Thorazine is concerned, if you want to take the other tranquilizers, Thorazine carries an interesting side effect, that of sudden death.
True for everybody, though, with the Valium and Thorazine, Requagesic, or whatever?
Each person gets a different set of side effects.
Indeed.
And the important thing is for every person to be aware of the side effects that he may get. Now, the only way in which he can be aware is to receive information. And what I'm hoping is that the FDA legislation now, the FDA proposed legislation now, will make available to every person in this country who receives a prescription the same prescribing information as is available to the physician who does the prescribing.
But isn't medicine of this type, and you say the only way you can find out is to get information, fine, but maybe you don't know what you're allergic to until you take it the first time. What are you going to do in that case? Maybe the doctor, you know, in all good conscience, is prescribing Thorazine or Valium or Darvon or aspirin.
I always presume that the doctor is behaving in good conscience. Because I do not think that doctors are poorly intentioned. Doctors are very well intentioned. Their problem is, as a result of their medical education, they are disabled, since they undergo what is called higher education, but what I call longer education, because they learn a whole bunch of erroneous things, which they then perpetuate throughout the rest of their careers.
Yeah.
Their intentions are excellent. The problem is that the road to hell is paved with good intentions.
Jim, hold it. Not fair. He said a moment ago that he believes that doctors are well-intentioned. And in his book, I can't remember the page, but he said that whenever a doctor tells you that he's going to do something, the first thing you do is find out, because the doctor always asks himself first, how does that benefit me? Exactly in those words, I think even the word me is italicized. Now, I've already decided that as he talked down here, I found no more references, and his comments about X-ray were completely so far-fetched with absolutely no documentation. How can we believe any of the rest? Now, wait one moment, Jim. It's my turn. You've had yours. And this gentleman said, that among other things, what you should do if you think you've got a disease or a symptom is ignore the doctor and talk your problem over with your friend, your neighbor, your family, your butcher, your hairdresser, and the grocer. And when you get through with all of those people, you'll find likely, he implies, some people who have had the same disease and the same symptoms. It doesn't tell you how that your neighbor knows that you and he have the same disease. And he says because we bad doctors are protecting a sacred authority. And then he says that you should talk to relatives and friends right from the outset, and then you'll find out you don't need a doctor. Can you just imagine the mayhem?
Are you, Dr. Mendelsohn, saying we don't really need doctors?
I'm saying that the best time to go to a physician is when you hardly ever have the chance to choose the physician, and that is in the case of emergency and traumatic events. Because American medicine is best in the treatment of acute emergency conditions. It is worst in the treatment of chronic conditions, and particularly when it applies itself to the healthy patient. That's why one of my chapters is entitled, "If This Is Preventive Medicine, I'll Take My Chances on Disease."
I see something here on page 19 that kind of struck me. Doctors in general should be treated with about the same degree of trust as used car salesmen. Whatever your doctor says or recommends, you have to first consider how it will benefit him. That's in italics. Maybe that's what you were
referring to. That's the word I wanted, yes.
If doctors should be treated with the same degree of trust as a used car salesman. I'm just wondering how I should trust either one of you guys. Because I've been stuck with some pretty bad cars.
I didn't write a book, sir, and I'm not getting royalties.
I'm asking Dr. Okay. Mendelson here, should we trust you and your book?
Hold on. Have you ever noticed that every so-called consumer advocate writes a book?
I wonder what motivated Dr. Mendelson to write this.
And how easy it is to be against things instead of for things. And I'd like to suggest right here and now, Mr. Boland, that primum non nocere is something that we took directly or by implication when we said first do no harm. And I'm going to suggest that somewhere, because this man is obviously an educated MD, some mother is going to read this book and believe. And she's going to ask her neighbors about her sick baby with 103, 104, and then her grocer. And she's going to delay several days pondering because this doctor says these men are no good. This baby has meningitis, and I'm going to suggest that this baby's going to get irreparable brain damage and paralysis as a result of the delay. And if one baby only, suffers paralysis, brain damage, or death because of following this kind of nonsense advice, may God have mercy on his restless soul.
Take a break. Take a break, and we'll be right back. Don't go away.